This morning, I would like you to think about an unforgettable gift you received. First of all, we need to define unforgettable. Unforgettable gift is a gift that can go either way. It can, on the one hand, be the absolutely most perfect, wonderful gift you have ever received. It fits you to a T, as they say. On the other hand, it could be so ridiculous and so hideous and so awful that you immediately begin to think, after you have unwrapped it and you look at it, what was she thinking? Was she self-medicating at the time? An unforgettable gift. It can be great or it can be horrible. I have two in my past unforgettable gifts. The first one was when I was 10 years old. My parents, my younger sister and I, we lived on a farm in the Kent Valley. We had no neighbors. The closest people were about a mile away. They were the Mullen sisters. They were two widowed sisters in their 80s. Only my sister and I had each other to play with. So I thought it would be a really good idea if, living on a farm, my parents got me a BB gun. Actually, it was a rifle. I thought it was the perfect gift for a 10-year-old, and I was thrilled the morning of Christmas to find the box with the rifle in it. Yes! Oh, you just can't imagine how many things you can shoot with a rifle. So, I opened up the box, and I was stunned to discover that the rifle did not shoot BBs. There were no BBs to be found. It shot corks! Corks with strings on them, like some kind of clown's gun. A string on it, for God's sake. I looked at my father like, how could you do this to me? He looked at my mother. She looked at me and said, you would shoot your sister's eye out. I probably would have. Really, a rifle that shot corks with strings on it. I still remember that gift. Unforgettable. Then there was another unforgettable gift. This one went the other way, though. Some of you know this because I used it in a Christmas sermon several years ago. I'm one of those people who shop really late for Christmas gifts. It was a year like this year where Christmas Eve was on a Monday. So after services on a Sunday, I went home and did what I normally do. I took a nap. I ate dinner. And then about 8 o'clock at night, I decided to go out and shop for Christmas gifts. My first stop was at Nordstrom's in Northgate. I found exactly what I wanted. See, that's the thing. When you're down to just a few gifts, it's easier to make a decision, you know? But there was this absolutely gorgeous, beautiful, beautiful, beautifully colored silk robe. Black and red, and it was just beautiful. And so, it would have been great if they would have had it in my wife's size, but they didn't. But the sales associate told me, they have one at the downtown store. Yes. So I quickly drove to the downtown store. I found the department. I went there. I asked for it. And the sales associate assured me that the computer said they had one, but they didn't. They did not have one in her size. But she said, I have good news for you. They have one in Tukwila at South Center. It is now about 9 o'clock at night, or a little later. And so I think, okay, I'm like the wise man. I'm on a quest, you know? This is the perfect gift. She's going to love it. I'm going to go get it. So I drive down there. Good news. They have it. Yes, yeah. Bad news. It's on a mannequin in the front display window. The sales associate assures me that that's not a problem. She'll get the manager. I don't know if you know this or not. You know when you walk by in a mall and you see the display windows? Behind them, there's always some kind of facade. Well, that facade actually has a door in it, and it actually has a key that locks it, and there's actually a guy who has the key who went home at 9:15. But the manager, she's very cool, she says, don't worry, I'll get something and we'll fish it off. So she goes and finds a ladder, and then she makes a pole, kind of like a Huckleberry Finn fishing pole, and so she's standing there, trying to get this robe off. Now you can imagine what this is like. People start to gather at the display window. And at times she appears successful. You know, it starts to come off and people go, yay! and then it gets hung up on an elbow, you know? And then I got to start all over again, you know? But she was, if anything, she was persistent. And she tried and tried again. And you ever notice how when a whole bunch of people gather to look at something, then more people come just to see what it is, even if somebody's standing there looking up in the sky? So now, out in front of the window, there's got to be 100 people standing in line watching this spectacle. So I'm still hopeful. But, you know, 10 minutes is 15 minutes is 20 minutes, and it's not coming off. And then, for sure, it's not coming off. It is hooked on an elbow and a wrist, and there's no hope whatsoever. But the original sales associate says, well, all this was going on, I checked with you. They have one in her size in Tacoma. If you can get there in 25 minutes, okay, I'm in Tukwila, 25 minutes, okay, it's going to be close. But I said, wait, I want to talk to the sales associate personally. I want to know that the sales associate actually has the right size in her hand. So dialed her back up, got her to the phone, said, yes, I've got it right here. It's right here in my hand. I said, do not let go of it. I will be there in 25 minutes. And I was. Yeah. It's an unforgettable gift. And she still has it. And every time she wears it, I can't help but think. Yeah. Yeah. Unforgettable gift. They can go either way, right? The first Christmas gift ever was an unforgettable gift. It was the gift of a Savior. Now, I have to tell you, not many people even then had a Savior at the top of their list for Christmas gifts. Not many do now. I checked this out just yesterday. The five most popular gifts that people wanted this year was 1, the new iPad. 2, No Easy Day, the firsthand account of the mission to kill Osama bin Laden. That one surprised me. 3, Marvel's The Avenger 4-disc combo. 4, the iPhone. And 5, some kind of record from either Bob Dylan or Taylor Swift. I'm going to guess those probably weren't on your list either. I don't know who these people are. But getting a Savior for Christmas? The problem with that is right off the bat, you have to acknowledge that there's something wrong with you. I mean, first of all, it says you need to be saved, right? You need to be saved. That's why you got a Savior. And so if you stop and look at that and you think about it, you got to think of the S word. You know the word. Sin. I don't know what you were thinking, but I was thinking sin. Nobody wants to talk about sin. You know, I'll tell you how bad it is, how hard sin is falling on hard times. Not that there isn't any. There's plenty of it. But just think about the way people use the word sin now. Let's see. First of all, there would be this way that they use sin. They always use it as some kind of a joke. You know, like, oh, I thought that was a sin. He, he, he. Giggle, giggle, giggle. Then the next thing to do is find some hot, exotic vacation spot and then label it as Sin City. And then most of you took a second helping of that sinfully delicious chocolate cake at Christmas time. Look what's happened to the word sin, for crying out loud. Oh, goodness. But sin is here and we know it. And we know there are those days, those hours, those minutes, those seconds when we need a Savior. That the word sin, we may consider to be archaic and ancient, is ever present. John Ortberg, who is a Presbyterian pastor in Menlo, California, he wrote this about sin in the Christian Century magazine several years ago. Imagine the consequences if we did not have a word for cancer or depression. We must identify and understand that which threatens our ability to flourish, and sin. Sin keeps us from becoming the people of God, from becoming the people God wants us to become. It's amazing, isn't it? Our capacity for self-deception when it comes to sin. If you ask people on the street for Christmas what it is they want, most of them will say peace on earth. But most of them aren't even willing to try to get peace at home. reconciliation. We need to look at ourselves in the mirror. We need to look sin in the eye by standing in front of a mirror. Our sin, our own sin. Our own resistance to forgive one another, to be merciful and compassionate, to put the best construction on what someone has said or done. No one in Scripture knows this better than the author of our second lesson, St. Paul. In his letter to the Romans, he wrote this: "The very thing I want to do, I don't, and the very thing I don't, I do." And then today in his letter to the Colossians, he echoes the same thought, using clothing as a metaphor. Put off the soiled, stained rags and clothe yourself with the baptismal garments of grace. Oh yeah, I've been baptized, you've been baptized. We have been forgiven. We have received an unforgettable gift. It is the gift of grace. It will never run out. We can never use it up. And even if we give it away, we'll get it again. It is an unforgettable gift. Again, I want to go back to John Ortberg. He relates a story about how lives were changed when three people received an unforgettable gift. Here's what he wrote. "My wife and I attended our daughter's graduation from Azusa Pacific College in California. After the degrees were awarded, the president of the college asked three people to come forward. Each one of them was a student who had just graduated. Each one of them was going off to serve through a nonprofit program, something like Lutheran Volunteer Corps or something like Lutheran World Relief. He invited the first person to join him at the podium. He then turned to the student and said, 'I want you to know that your $117,000 in college loans has been forgiven.' And then he said to the second student, 'Your $114,000 in student loans have been forgiven.' And to the third student, 'Your $70,000 in student loans have been forgiven.' The students were stunned, as well as the assembled parents, staff, teachers, and everyone else. No one saw it coming. I imagine it was like that first Christmas. No one saw it coming. The gift of a Savior and the unforgettable gift of grace. You don't think that those three students' lives were changed by that? Think now how our lives have been changed by the gift of grace that God gives to us in the Savior, Jesus Christ. What a tremendous gift we have. What are you going to do with it this Christmas season? What are you going to do with that gift of grace? Perhaps tomorrow you'll wear it, or perhaps you'll take it off and give it to someone else, and someone else will receive an unforgettable gift of forgiveness, mercy, compassion, kindness. Whatever you do, be about your Father's business. Be about the business of forgiveness. Be about the business of grace. Be about the giving of an unforgettable gift. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.